This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. We're all about digital signage and have been since 2006. We cover what's interesting now and what will be interesting and important one day soon. And we filter out all the BS. This podcast is a chance to add depth and color to what we do online, and it gives smart people a chance to really talk about their companies and their ideas. You can hear new episodes weekly on your smartphone, tablet, or desktop, free of charge. 69 is sponsored and supported by ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful, ready-made, auto-delivered, and auto-updated content for screens. One of my big takeaways from the trade show circuit earlier this year was my conclusion that transparent LED was starting to look really good. If you're not with me on what that is, think LED displays that are a bit reminiscent of window blinds with the LED lights on the louvers. What you end up with, when it's done well, are super bright, full color, and full motion LED displays that you can still kind of sort of mostly see through. The indoor versions go into windows, so you don't have a solid mass like a normal LED or LCD display blocking the view. When they're used outside, they could turn a normal building into a multimedia facade, but again, still allowing natural light into the building. The company that's arguably doing the most in this emerging area is Clear LED, which is based in beautiful Vancouver, BC. That owes a little bit to co-founder Jin Fan realizing the company that started in Shenzhen needed a North American footprint for sales and support. But it's also because Vancouver is where she's from. I chatted with Fan recently about the company and her technology. All right, Jin, thanks for joining me. Maybe first thing to do is, can you tell me about what Clear LED does and where it came from?
Okay, thank you, Dave. We Clear LED, as the name implies, we specialize transparent LED displays that is meant mainly for commercial usage, for building media facades or storefront advertising. Mm-hmm. It started off 5 years ago, 5-6 years ago, as when I was working on projects in multimedia projects in China. And one of the projects I worked on was designing a public tourist attraction that was building a animation facade on top of an underground shopping mall using the glass roof ceiling. So at that time, we require a non-conventional LED screen that could allow sunlight to pass through during the daytime. Mm-hmm. and at nighttime, the glass roof ceiling facing the street will turn into a LED screen to display a multimedia show. Yep. Together with fountain and things. So that all came from that time.
And did the technology exist at that point?
There were something similar. I think a lot of people know that as a mesh, but we have basically redesigned innovative idea. So allowing more, like maximize the transparency. So mm-hmm. maximize the light to be passed through also. So what it is that the concept is like Venetian blinds. So when you open up the Venetian blinds, you can almost see the entire window without blocking any views. So then you can solder or mount the LEDs instead of on the mm-hmm. on top of. So we're thinking the PCB boards as the Venetian blinds, and then we mount the LEDs instead of on top of them. We find a technique to solder them on the edge, and that way to maximize the transparency and allow still having a fine pixel pitch to display higher resolution motion graphics compared to the traditional mesh displays.
Right. So you saw this mm-hmm. over in China, and then you decided there's something here. I should start a company.
So no, at that time, we worked closely with the engineer from at that time it was from. I was working for a company, and then we designed this special LED with the engineer from Unilumen, actually, at that time.
Yeah.
And then I saw the potential of something. This can be opening up a new market where a traditional LED display cannot be placed. So then definitely at that time, the technology was not mature yet. So I kept my so-called day job and continue working with the engineer at that time. And then he came out of the that company from Univision. And then we we started the company in China first and working on this display technology. Then 2 years later, because of my personal background, I grew up in Canada, went to school here in Vancouver. So I thought we could try to push it to the North American market. Mm-hmm. So the first thing we did is to participate in Infocom 2014, mm-hmm. and just to see how the market responds. And at that time, we were the very first company who have something like this. And it was kind of new to the people, professionals in the audiovisual industry. So we got some interest. And one of the immediate contact was from Vancouver, the Blue Shore Financial Bank. At that time, they're opening up a new head office in North Vancouver, right, because that's where I live and it's very close. So we decided to work with them and to build a first case or a project in North America. So set a sample. Okay. So that's how we started in Canada, in North America.
Okay. And yeah. Now the company is called, it wasn't Clear LED back then, it was another name, but now, yeah. When did you rebrand and why?
So the company was called GWS Design and Design Solutions. So it was short, GWS was short for Global Window Sign. So at the beginning, we were always promoting the window display, right, and advertising. So it was, we rebranded early this year, beginning of 2017, for a number of reasons. One of the reasons was a change of shareholders. Mm-hmm. So one of the person I started the company with, so have left the company in, mm-hmm. in Canada. So, and then we also split the manufacturing collaboration in China as well. So, and then another word, there was some change of the right, company's share structure. And then the other reason is as a consumer-facing name, it wasn't a really intuitive name. Like GWS is an acronym. It doesn't mean anything, yeah, to the end customer. And because we specialize in transparency, so we thought the name Clear LED would speak to more people what we do, we specialize in. Also, clear doesn't necessarily always, not only implies transparency, but also clarity of, yeah, image quality. So that's, we thought that's a better name for the brand.
Yeah, I think you're right. I remember seeing the booth at, I think, Infocom this past year and finding out, mm-hmm. who it was and thinking, okay, yeah, that is a better brand. It makes more sense.
Yeah.
One of the things that my kind of takeaways from Infocom this year was walking around the show and concluding that this transparent LED stuff was getting really good. I do remember, yeah, seeing it a couple of years ago, and you know, it was okay for window displays and everything. But what I saw, you know, 6 months ago, it was like really, really good. And from a distance, you didn't really even know it was transparent.
Right.
What's happened where it's improved that much?
I think it's it come in a long way from many of factors. One is years of field experience. As one of the first company who started this product and the concept of turning, you know, your window real estate, or to have a display that doesn't take your window storefront estate and doesn't block sunlight. Mm-hmm. So we also get pushed by the market demand to create a display that is a higher resolution, higher transparency, higher brightness every day. And there's demand for that. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is we have done so many applications, and every time we have certain feedback that we change on the structural design to make it more easy to install, and then just the durability. And just that also comes from just R&D, research and development, and trying and testing. So yeah, that all takes time, but keeps improving. And then the other main factor is that I think as we're building more of those real cases with very higher level electric, most of them are electric brands. Mm-hmm. And then this industry, this ecosystem, get like our suppliers notice that's a new market. So then they start supplying like smaller LED lights that is used like outdoor rated, but smaller. Mm-hmm. So we're able to make a tighter, a finer pixel pitch. So that's why, as you were saying, that, you know, looks almost holographic, because it still looks very high resolution, but you almost don't, from a far distance, you almost don't see the PCB boards or the dials.
Mm-hmm. And when people in the digital signage market and the display market think about LED, they think a lot about pixel pitch. When I look at your specs, they don't really talk in terms of pixel pitch, but how do they, what are your best displays kind of equate to in terms of pitch?
Currently, the smallest, finest pixel pitch we have is 2.5 millimeters.
Okay.
Yeah, we do have on the specs, we do have the definitely all the terms, the pixel pitch. Yeah, so we have a wide range, but the currently the smallest we can create is 2.5 millimeters. Then we have the option of 3.1, 3.9, mm-hmm. and then goes all the way up to 20, 25 millimeters.
Right.
Depending on the project and the context of the installation.
So at 2.5, you're getting into fine pitch territory. How much mm-hmm. light passes through that? Is it pretty tight, or can it still function as a window?
It still can function as a window. The transparency is about 60%.
Okay.
So from the back, it's still quite see-through. And for some of the application that we notice, yeah, for 60% transparency, the customer is still satisfied with that. Just the main reason is that they want to be able to have the sunlight to pass through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And most of the transparent screens, so at the pixel pitch 2.5, the horizontal is 2.5 millimeters, and mm-hmm. the vertical is about 5
okay.
millimeters.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but then anything above 5 millimeters is all even. It's 5 millimeters by 5 millimeters.
Right. So this idea that these mesh displays, these transparent displays, are only for low res applications isn't really accurate.
No, it's not anymore.
And does it vary, like when you're doing 2.5 millimeter, is that only something you can do indoors, or what can you do outdoors?
Yeah. So for indoor application, that's what I was talking about.
Yep.
2.5 is, yes, smallest. And for outdoor, we have anything, it's all above 16 millimeters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because in that case, you're talking about long distance and building facades, that sort of thing.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. The other, I guess, is the technical limitation is, and for outdoor display, there's just so much more procedures we have to add, weatherproof things. So then the transparency has to be compromised. So that was kind of constant battle for the product development side.
It takes time and real money to make and host this podcast, so I'm grateful for the continuing support of ScreenFeed.
Hi, this is Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. I hope you're enjoying the podcast as much as I am. I've loved Dave's blog since we started in the industry. It's now our 10th year at ScreenFeed, and we've grown to be a reliable partner for the industry, serving over 1,700 customers with over 100,000 screens globally, and we're currently getting 10 million content requests daily. But more important than that is that we make content beautiful, functional for the medium, and we help our customers meet their goals of increasing viewership and satisfying customers. If you don't know how ScreenFeed can help you, it's worth 5 minutes to browse our website or give us a call. If you're out walking your dog, driving home, or relaxing on your favorite chair, just make a mental note to check us out. Now back to the podcast.
I noticed in the specifications, and I think I was looking at the indoor stuff, the brightness levels are really, really high, like 6,000 nits, mm-hmm. that sort of thing.
Do
they often run at that, or are they running a lot lower? Because I would imagine if they're running that bright, the LED life is not going to be the same.
Yeah, you're right. So 6,000 nits is a standard brightness, and but for real life application, the brightness is not always run by 6,000 nits. I think it's similar to most outdoor displays. It's 6,000 nits is only needed for direct sunlight mm-hmm. time, and that's only probably 2 hours during the day. And we have light sensor built into some of the product line, like the Clarity poster.
Sure.
So it automatically adjusts brightness, and then on an average, the brightness is only 50%, so half of it on an average for application. And if it's completely indoor, if it's not facing, like installed inside behind the window facing outside, if it's just completely indoor in a shopping mall, then you are only required for about maximum 2,000 nits.
Right.
And that's the Dubai Aquarium mall that application we have done. So that screen, it was 2,000 nits brightness capacity, mm-hmm. but on an average, it's only using 1,200 nits.
Sure. Let's talk about that. I remember seeing the news about you doing the Dubai Aquarium, the Dubai Mall Aquarium. Mm-hmm. Is that your biggest project that's kind of out in the marketplace, or the highest profile one?
That's one of the highest profile projects we have created. But in terms of the size, we actually have done many larger ones. And this year actually was quite exciting. We just finished the National Art Center for Ottawa. And that was another large project for North America.
And what did you do there?
But in terms of that project, the National Art Center has of Canada is currently undergoing a rejuvenation, and that was also part of the celebration for Canada 150th anniversary celebration. So there's a extension of this art center that was built in the 60s architectural space, and the new extension uses a lot of glass and modern wood building techniques. Mm-hmm. And the centerpiece is a 50-foot high hexagon-shaped glass tower. And the architect has named it as a lantern. And the meaning is it's a beacon for the Canadian art and performing arts and culture, and also a new canvas for artists around the world to showcase their work, and also Canadian artists to showcase their work, digital work there. So we have worked closely with the architect, and we customized a 16 millimeters clear LED media facade that covers the four sides of the glass tower facing Ogden Street.
So this can be lit up in different ways. It's a full RGB spectrum of colors, and
that's right. Yeah.
So it can be whatever it needs to be.
Mm-hmm. So it's So there's right now they're still testing the. It's going to be finally revealed to the public on New Year's Eve this year, and currently Moment Factory from Montreal.
Yeah.
They are creating some very cool, interactive, I think, media show. So we not only created the media, the transparent media facade for the tower, there's also four outdoor LED light blades that's outside the building. So this tower and the light blades will echo, and there will be some art installation there. So the idea is to become and there's some media server and the whole system built into it. So for special festival events, there can be some content for that. And also if there's some particular artist can showcase their work and with in a digital way, so it's more engaging. And the other thing is, it's just with motion graphics, it reaches a bigger audience. You
sure.
can see from very far distance, mm-hmm. and so I think NAC, that's the whole purpose of this new rejuvenation, is that they want to make this place more inviting,
right.
engaging to the public. Yeah.
When you're doing things like, first of all, are those is your technology on the outside of the building, or is it inside those windows?
It's inside of
okay.
the windows. Yeah.
When you're dealing with inside or out, are there many engineering considerations? Like, is the infrastructure for your stuff very heavy, or is it pretty light because it's, you know, kind of blades of metal?
Yeah, it is very bright. Very lightweight. I think that's another factor for this product.
Mm-hmm.
And many audiovisual companies consider this product not because of the transparency, is because of the lightweight. So they can create some suspended or like hanging structure with like less, structural engineering
right.
concern. For this particular National Arts Center project, same thing. So the lightweight was a big plus, but then at the same time, because this is such a important landmark for Canada's capital city, and the architect has very strict requirements for how the LED should look inside this tower, because inside it's actually a VIP room, and it can host like music concerts or different venues. So they were very particular about, you know, the chassis and the look. So we have customized the panels to align with the architectural steel beams. And we also powder coated the color to match the interior of the color. So for that particular project, was quite customized. And the same goes to the Dubai Mall. That was also a highly customized project.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. One of the things I've noticed about the transparent LED is, you know, from the front it looks fantastic. If you look in behind, it can look a little utilitarian. And I would wonder about in a high end retailer or like the National Arts Center or whatever,
right?
What it looks like from the inside looking out the opposite end of the actual LED lights. So, do you think that's something that, as the products evolve, that's going to be a steady ask, that the back end's got to look as good as the front end?
Yeah, I definitely believe so. We are considering the most of the applications are in very nice retail and public space. So the back look is definitely the requirement for that is much higher than the regular LED panels in the back. So we're constantly improving that. But for some very special project like the National Arts Center and the Dubai Mall, we actually just fully customized based on the client's
right.
requirement. Yeah.
So you've got this custom work that you do, and I'm sure it's high margin and everything is great, but you've also got commodity products from what I can tell that are
right.
digital posters that you're going to put into, or hopefully a 7-Eleven and those kinds of companies are going to buy. Has that market really moved for you guys?
I think, on the short answer, the market is still, on this side, is still at the very early stage.
Mm-hmm.
The concept, so we have came out of from this kind of bigger project-oriented and highly customized space. And it was fantastic, and we still enjoy doing it. Well, but at the same time, I have, even personally, I noticed there's a big demand on small retails or even like franchise stores where they don't require customized work, and they don't necessarily have the budget to have a technician to do like install. So we want to make this kind of technology more accessible
mm-hmm.
for medium small retail businesses. So then that's really what the purpose, and then the idea comes from making this same technology but make it like a TV that is so user-friendly, so easy to use, like a 7 years old can know how to turn a TV on and change right. channels. So that was the concept. And then it definitely came a long way. It's been 2 years that we were working on research and development. I mean, we have sold to some, you see some success story and case studies on our website about McDonald's franchisee. And they were happy how the idea is replacing this clear LED poster with the printed one. Mm-hmm. And then you're able to use the cloud-based content management to easily upload, change content without having to print again and shipping and the labor to put the change the posters.
Right.
But at the beginning, so we have, say, for instance, building the light sensor, having the manual control on the side, which is the current model has, that came from a feedback from those kind of business owners. And we have improved and added this feature in. So I believe that the now we have the building those feedback, market feedback to this current model. I think this side of the business or the product sales will go up.
I assume what you would like to see is to kind of streamline your manufacturing, where you're just knocking out a certain number of types of, like a series of products, and they go in a flat box and they ship and mm-hmm. they open them up at the other end and plug them in and hang these four hangers and off you go. And
That
simplifies your business quite a bit.
Yes. Yeah. I see this as a two divisions. What we're doing as the media facade and the highly customized work, we've built a portfolio of cases like that and demonstrated the ability from design to engineer to manufacturing. But then on the plug and play solution, it's a different business model, a different market sector, but. Mm-hmm. Ideally, we want to push that also to we currently do have three standard sizes, but just improving the usability and because the user of these kind of product are very different from the customized ones, and they need to be very simple, straightforward, just plug and play, basically just put in power and then you're ready to go.
Okay, so tell me about the business. You're now based in Vancouver. How many people do you have?
Right now, we have about 6 full-time staff mm-hmm. in Vancouver and some contractors. And then the main manufacturing facility is still in Shenzhen, China.
Right. So you just get contract manufacturing?
No, we have it is a partially owned manufacturer facility. Yeah.
And the business, is it a privately held business?
It is privately held, yes.
And how are you guys doing, as much as you can tell me? Are you profitable?
I think we can be better.
You're getting there.
I think we're getting there. At the beginning, I do have some investors came on board a couple of years ago, and that helped the company, because we at the beginning we did have to invest a lot of money on research and development and marketing. Mm-hmm. Right now you probably see there's competitions coming up, but at the early stage we have invested so much on just educate the market because it's so new that nobody know. Like, okay, you can use a LED screen that is see-through. Back then, there's a lot of audiovisual company, when they want to have a see-through solution, they are thinking about projection. But projecting has a brightness limitations, right? Yep. LCD has brightness limitations. So now, together with some competition, that's good, because most people now in this AV industry understand there's something like this available. And what we're having to build is to show that we have North American service. So I'm continue building the service and the support for our products mm-hmm. and quality. Also just just continue building the business.
And that North American presence, that ability to phone somebody and they're going to pick up on the West Coast, do you find that's really important?
Yeah, I definitely feel that. And also, we are building a partnership on the East side, not only in Canada, but also in the States. We have partners that have the coverage to support all our products, you know, especially in North America. So that's very important. I think it's very important, especially this kind of product is still more on a high end. It attracts mostly is the luxurious brands. They want to know that we have the support.
Right. So if I'm going to a trade show in the next couple of quarters and we're moving mm-hmm. into trade show season, where would somebody who's interested in this technology be able to see Clear LED?
Well, the latest one would be Digital Signage Expo in Las Vegas.
Okay, so you guys will have a booth there?
We're not having a booth there, but we will have like a product showcase this year. Yeah, we were in DSE for the past 2 years, and then this year we're just showing the a product showcase.
Right, so
not
you'll be,
the entire booth. Yeah,
you'll be in the city.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be in the city for sure, and probably we also entered the National Arts Center for the APEX Award this year.
Oh, cool! All right, thank you very much for taking some time with me.
No, you're welcome. Thank you so much, Dave.
That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening and learned something. If you want to stay on top of what's happening and actually matters in digital signage, join thousands of readers who visit 16.9, that's 16-9.net every day. If you like this podcast, please also check out the companion 16.9 podcast called Projects. That's done by Michael Tutton, and there's a new episode every second Friday. 16.9 the blog and now the podcasts are properties of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare bedroom in my house near Toronto. Thanks to our podcast sponsor, ScreenFeed, and thank you for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.